John chapter 4, it's been a while since I've preached on this particular, out of this chapter. I bring up some verses out of it from time to time, but it's a very interesting chapter. There are some statements in here that we will do well to learn from and apply to our lives. I look at this particular incident and I see what I see about Jesus is something that a lot of people might miss. You see, one of the things that I know about Jesus is the fact that he actually knows what's going to happen. He did not go accidentally to Samaria. Verse 4 says he must needs go through Samaria. He had a plan. He was part of God's plan. He knew what was going to happen. Nothing catches him off guard. Now, you and I, we meet people from time to time, and we don't know anything about them. But that never happened to Jesus. Because every time he went someplace, he went with a purpose in mind. Every time he met someone, he knew everything about them. He knew their parentage, he knew their occupation, he knew their struggles, their physical disabilities, and all the things about them, and he loved them anyway. I'm going to tell you something. That's one of the reasons why I can sing, "The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows." It's because I know me. You guys think you know me. I know me. And God knows me. And he still loves me. Amen. To me, that's amazing. But when I see this particular passage and I see about how Jesus had this plan to go through Samaria when it was forbidden for the Jews to do so, why did he go? Number one, the rules that man applied or make up don't apply to Jesus. He had a plan to meet somebody. Let's stand in honor of the Word of God. We're going to read just a few verses here. Starting with verse 1. It says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria." That word "must" is a word that we need to sit up and take notice of. The word "must" means it's not optional. Okay, this was God's plan, and what did Jesus always do? He always followed God's plan. And this word "must," we need to sit up and take notice. We'll see it again in the chapter in a little bit. It says, "Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well," and it was about the sixth hour. "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we come before you. Lord, we acknowledge that this is a holy place, but not because of us. This is a holy place because it's your house. It's a holy book that we're reading from. And we're bowing before a holy God. And Lord, we need your Holy Spirit to be in control of everything said and done. And Lord, once again, I ask you, I beg you, you be in control. And Lord, we need you to show up. Please do that. Help us. We're a needy people and we need your presence. For it's in that mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen. You can be seated. When I look at this particular incident, I see that one of the things, as I get older, I have a tendency to forget things. You guys have that problem? And one of the things I do, which Sharon will tell you, there's an appointment I have to have in the next morning. I'll take a piece of tape and tape a note on my steering wheel so I don't forget my appointment. Or if there's something I've got to take to church, I'll take the bag and hang it over the doorknob so I don't forget it. Or something like that. I do things like that to help me remember, because as I get older, it's not getting better, amen? But the truth is, I don't think it was the fact that Jesus was going to forget the woman at the well, but I think he sat on the well because she couldn't get to the well without getting around him. He was going to run into her. He was going to see her. He had a plan, and he had a woman in mind. He saw this woman. He saw this need, and he said, something great's going to happen here. And he came to this woman, and the woman came, and what did he do? Before, I really believe that this probably happened. I can't prove from Scripture, but we do know that he got rid of the disciples because he didn't want them to be a distraction. The woman might have been intimidated with him standing there and 12 other men standing around. But Jesus sitting by himself on the well talking to the woman. And then he asks her for water. I mean, it's already caught her off guard because he's blocking her from getting water. He's sitting on the well. What are you doing on the well? Sir, can you move? I got to get water. And he's sitting on the well, and he asks her to drink. He asks her for some water. And I think about that. Now, I know that caught her off guard. We see it in the Scripture where she said, you're Jewish. I'm of Samaria. Why are you asking me this? I want to tell you something. There are a lot of people in our world today that aren't used to you asking about their soul. There are people out there that realize that they're on their way to hell. And then when they see somebody that actually cares, it catches them off guard. When you give a tract to somebody like I try to do, whether it's going through the drive-thru or at the waitress at the restaurant or at the cashier or when getting groceries or whatever, I try to give a tract to somebody and I stop and ask them. I said, you know why I give that to you? Because I want to see you in heaven. That'll tell you how to get to heaven. That's my concern. That's why we got those tracks out there on the track rack. We want people to get saved. Amen. And as long as I'm pastor of Bible Baptist Church, that's going to be our focus. Amen. On getting people saved and teaching them the truth, whether it's going to the Family Fun Center like we're going to be doing. Hey, I'm going to be doing some soul winning at the Family Fun Center as well with a lot of the kids that go with us. Amen. Some of them we've never met before. But guess what? They'll know we're concerned about their soul. That's what Jesus was concerned about with this woman. He was concerned about her soul. He knew that she needed him. He knew that she was going in every direction trying to find pleasure and happiness, and it was all fallen for naught. And that's what people need to know about you and I. They need to know that we care. They need to know somebody cares. I had a girl Friday. I try to be discreet with my track passing while I'm at work. But as I'm getting closer to retirement, I'm getting a little more bold. But there was a young lady Friday. She was sitting at the bus stop, probably not more than 17, 18 years old. And you could see that she'd been crying. And I didn't approach her. To start with, I thought maybe she wanted to ride the bus. She was at the bus stop, and I had to stop there for a little bit before time to take off. And I didn't approach her. I was hesitant, and I came up to her, and as I'm getting ready to get on the bus to leave, I said, are you all right? And she still had tears welling up in her eyes, and she kind of nodded her head, and I said, well, I want to give you this. I gave her a track. I said, here's a Christian comic book. I want you to know that Jesus loves you. Now, I don't know whether she got saved or not, but I wanted her to know that somebody cared. If nobody else cares about you or me at all, we know that Jesus cares, and all we've got to do is look at Calvary and see how much. But Jesus was talking to this woman at the well, and it kind of reminded me of this girl at the bus stop, because she was sad. She tried, and she was disappointed and hurt by somebody or something. I want to tell you something. Life's going to deal those blows your way. You're going to have to learn to deal with life's disappointments. And the only way to do it, I kind of like what David did. He encouraged himself in the Lord. When everything goes to, you know, goes the wrong way, when you're fighting the world and the devil and the flesh and family and finances and everything else, I want you to know that Jesus is the one that'll encourage you. He'll take care of you. He'll meet your need. This woman here, she didn't know. She had been married 5 times and was living with a man, and she still wasn't happy. And Jesus said, guess what? I've got some living water I can give you. And she said, you don't have anything to draw with. How are you going to get water out of the well? He said, and she didn't understand. It's almost like the discussion with Nicodemus, you know, where Jesus was talking about being born again. Say, why does Jesus do that? He knows how to get a point across. This woman was coming for water. And that's what got her attention. Jesus was talking about that eternal water, that spring of living water, that when they get saved, when you got saved, when I got saved, that music, that melody in my heart, hey, guess what? It's there. It's going to be there. Now, the world's going to try to squash it. It's going to try to squelch it. It's going to try to keep it from happening. And that's why you need to be in church. That's why you need to stay in God's Word. That's why you need to stay away from the worldliness and the devil's crowd. I get around that devil's crowd all the time. I have preachers tell me, brother, I'm praying for you that you get to where you don't have to work and pastor. And I've told a few of them, I said, well, don't pray too hard. I said, because I'm going to meet more lost people in a day than you will in a week. And that's true. And you don't know how much preaching I get to do on the bus. Good grief. 41 hours a week on the bus with lost people. You think I'm going to let that slide? Not a chance. Not a chance. And that's how I got to know this one young lady who's her kids are going to be coming to the Family Fun Center Saturday. I've seen people get saved on the bus. Not because of me. I'm just not foolish enough to let the opportunity slip by. Amen? I'm just smart enough to grasp it when it happens. Hey, I'd rather pick that fruit before it rots and falls. Amen? But the truth is, Jesus had a plan. Now, I want to focus a little bit more on what he said to the woman a little farther down in the chapter. Look at what it says in, let's look at verse 18. It says, verse 17 said, the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in the mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Now I want you to sit up and take notice of verse 22. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Now, that's an odd statement for Jesus to say to the woman. You worship, you know not what. But I want you to understand, Jesus is telling her the truth, right? He's telling her something that she's surprised by, because they go to the temple there in, or the places there in Samaria, but where was the temple? The temple was in Jerusalem. That's where they were supposed to worship. Now, I'm not going to focus there, but I want you to understand there are a lot of times that people try to worship. They honestly, sincerely want to worship, but they're not honest enough to follow the Bible guidelines for worship. These people here that used to own this building, they actually believed they were worshiping the Father. But I can almost hear Jesus today telling them, ye worship ye know not what. Because you cannot worship the Father without going through the Son. And they refused to go through the Son. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And I want you to know, as much as you want to worship Jesus or worship the Father, you cannot if you're worshiping in the wrong fashion. I think about Cain and Abel. Cain worshiped God. He brought a sacrifice. Well, what's wrong with that, preacher? Well, the fact that God didn't accept it kind of gives me an indication that he knew better. You know, God doesn't hold us accountable for what we don't know in many cases. To whom much is given, of him shall much be required. You know, I'm going to stand accountable to God a whole lot more than you are because I went to Bible college. And the truth is, I have to give an account. But the more you know about the Bible, the more you give an account for too. And the more we know the truth, the more we give an account. And that's what Jesus is talking to the woman about. He said, you worship, you know not what. Why? Because they weren't worshiping according to truth. Look at the next phrase, or the next two verses. It says, for the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Now let me ask you this. Does Jesus say the worshipers? God's looking for what? Worshipers? Or he's looking for true worshipers? He's looking for true worshipers, really? For true worshipers, if you've got true worshipers, then you've got to have false worshipers. I mean, you can't have both ways. If he was just looking for worship, he's looking for worship. But he's wanting people to do it his way. Abel worshiped God the right way. And he worshiped him in a way that pleased God because he did it according to what God wanted. Cain did not do that. These people here in Samaria, they were worshiping God, but in according to error. They weren't worshiping. And look at what, and we're all familiar with verse 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him, here's that word again, that imperative word, must. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus is saying, it's not optional. If you want to worship God, you've got to do it according to your spirit, the Holy Spirit speaking to your spirit in sincerity and according to truth. Now it's getting awful quiet, but the truth is, hey, what we want to understand is if we're going to come to God and I come to church and I worship him, I want to do it according to the book. And there are a lot of people making a mess out of some of these translations, attacking Jesus and his deity and his miracles and salvation, and on you can go. But I want you to understand, this is not something that I take lightly. Bible Baptist Church, we called ourselves Bible Baptist Church because we're going to follow the Bible, the King James Bible. And I'm not going to do anything different. I'm going to follow. Why? Because I don't want to be caught up and get called, the Lord call us down and say, you worship you know not what. Now let me ask you this. If they were worshiping they know not what, were they really worshiping? Oh yeah, they were worshiping, but they were worshiping. Hey, I want to tell you something. We're going to do God's music, God's way. We're going to sing out the hymnal. Hey, I'm glad to have Miss Twaddell on the piano. Amen. That's been a blessing. But we've been singing along with the hymnal, out of the hymnal, ever since we started the church and did the church in Kansas City the same way. These hymns, they are not optional at Bible Baptist Church. Okay? We've got a projector screen up here. We're not going to use it but you're going to have to pull out the hymnal. Amen. And the truth is, I'm not opposed to that as long as they sing the hymns. But you know what you've got when you pull out a hymnal? You got people thumbing through it. One of the things that I do when I go to a church, sometimes for a preacher's meeting or I'm speaking or something, I pull out their hymnal and just check out and see what hymnal they got and what songs are in there. And I can tell a lot. But if you don't have a hymnal in the pews, the people can't say, well, how come we hadn't sung Saved by the Blood of the Crucified One in a long time? I wonder why. Or, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Why haven't we sung these songs? Oh, we'll sing a dance song and the 7-11 song, 7 words 11 times. And the truth is, what we're going to do is we're going to stay with the book. Hey, I know God honors what we're doing here because He's provided a building for us. Amazing. Amazing. What's He got in store for the future? I don't know, but I'm enjoying the ride, amen? I'm just looking, we're going to see what He's got. But my concern is, we're just going to, if He doesn't bless it all, we're going to do it His way. Amen. We're going to use the old book, we're going to use the old hymns, we're going to knock doors the old way, we're going to tell people the old gospel about how to get saved and how God saves old sinners the same old-fashioned way. But there's so many that are getting away. So many that are pulling away from the truth. So many, and it breaks my heart because, I'll give you a little hint. When we moved to Kansas City, one of the first things before we even moved, I found out that God was putting us in Kansas City, I did a search on the internet, and I typed in Baptist Church, Kansas City, Missouri. And there was page after page after page after page after page of Baptist churches in Kansas City. And I'm sitting there and saying, Lord, I'm not doubting the fact that you want us to go. I'm not doubting the fact that this is your plan. But I'd sure like to know why. You know, He didn't answer my question until I got there. And I started seeing why there needed to be an independent, fundamental, King James Bible-believing Baptist church right there in Platte County, Missouri, right on the edge of Kansas City, right in the shadow almost of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, about 5 or 6 miles away from us. And I saw people getting away from the book. I saw churches that were getting away from the right music. They were becoming more of a nightclub, more of an Elks club. If anybody's a part of the Elks, I'm not offending them. It's just that it's not supposed to be a church. God's called us to be a church. And that's what happened. We started knocking doors. You know, we saw a lot of people saved. I really believe they got saved, but never would leave the church that they were going to, even though they were teaching the wrong stuff, and their family's going to die and go to hell because they won't take a stand for the truth. I had to leave the Southern Baptist Convention. Sharon and I grew up in it. But the truth is, they were using the wrong Bibles. They were using the wrong music. They were getting away from the truth. And Jesus says, what? God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Go back to John chapter 3, verse 30. There's that word again, must. He must increase, and I must decrease. If you don't let that happen in you, see, that's what you have a will in. You have to make that choice. You have to call and say, Lord, I'm backing off. It's not me. I'm going to let you have your way. You've got to be the one on the throne in my life. John the Baptist is talking here, and he's saying Jesus is the one that's got to increase, and I've got to decrease. And that's what you and I need to say. We want the Lord's blessings on our life. We've got to let him increase. And we've got to back up and say, Lord, the Bible says this, and I'm doing just the opposite. Lord, I'm going to follow the Bible. I'm going to let that go. I'm going to get away from that. What happened to the woman? I'll tell you what happened to her. Look at verse 28. She got saved. And she said, it says, the woman then left her water pot. She forgot what she came for. She forgot about the water because she had the living water, amen? And went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And look at verse 39, and I'm not going to... Verse 39 says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that I ever did. Look at verse 41. And many more believed because of his own word. How much Bible do you think the woman knew? Not much. You don't need to know much. All you need to know is Jesus. And just point people to him. Just say, hey, I know a man. Just like I did with the woman at the bus stop. Hey, I could have said I loved her and she might have thought something crazy about it, something bad about it. But I'm going to tell you something. When I said Jesus loved her, it got a smile out of that sad face. The most important thing is people need our Jesus. Amen. And Jesus is not going to bless us unless we do things his way. You know what the one of the things that's been fun about moving into this building is the fact that we got to spiritually take the word Ichabod off the building. I mean, really. And I'm determined that it's not going to go back up. We're going to stay with the glory of the Lord. We're going to stay with and follow him. We're going to do things his way. You say, what if this happens? What if that? I don't care what happens. They come in here with machine guns. I'm going to be preaching like I'm preaching today. I'll try to get those soldiers saved. Amen. They need Jesus too. We had... When I was teaching 5th and 6th grade boys one time, we had a track attack. I like to have those Saturday track attacks with the kids. And that's one of the reasons like I'd like to get a youth group here at the church. I'd love to go to the flea market and the airport and places like that and just go crazy passing out tracks. We had one at the Lakeland Mall. Found out later, after I'd planned it and told the kids, that we weren't supposed to do that. So I asked my pastor, I said, "You, preacher, we're going to do this anyway because I've already promised the kids and I'm not going to break my word to the kids." And I said, "Will the church post my bail?" And you know what his answer was? He said, "Well, before we talk about that, Brother Brian, we need to talk about a prison ministry." That's my preacher, amen. But the truth is, what I want you to understand is, hey, one of the boys were going nuts in with those tracks. They were passing them out crazy. But one of the boys passed one out to one of the security guards. And boy, that threw a monkey wrench in the whole thing. And after that, I started thinking, and I said, "No, I'm glad he did. Because that security guard needs Jesus too." And I want to tell you, then we took the rest of the tracks and put them on windshields in the parking lot. But anyway, but the truth is, hey, everybody needs our Jesus. Jesus had this one woman. He knew for a fact if he met this one woman, it was going to break out with revival in Sychar. And that's why he must needs go through Samaria. You know, sometimes in our life we hit a detour. Maybe there's an accident up here and we have to go a different direction. Maybe our store, we can't get over to the store, or we forget, like I've been known to do. And I think I'm going to go to this store and then drive right on by. And thinking about other things, that's not good for a bus driver to do anyway, by the way. But the truth is, sometimes I think it's the Lord putting you in another place because there's somebody else that he wants you to reach. I don't get as upset over those things as I used to, because I just kind of say, "Okay, Lord, I'm going to be a witness here. I'm going to do this. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to pass out tracts wherever you put me. Just bloom where you planted." God has a plan. And he can still, I know our country's going the wrong way real quick, and our president's trying to straighten it out, and a lot of people are fighting him, but I want to tell you something. God can still send a revival to America.
Amen.
There is no nut too hard for my God to crack.
That's right.
Okay? And America's not there. I'm going to say it's getting a late hour. Because I'm expecting the trumpet to sound any time. But I also still pray for my country, my president, our leaders, the upcoming election. The most important thing is God has to have somebody that's willing to pay the price to stick with the truth. And I've volunteered. And I hope you do too. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you. Lord, we thank you for this special chapter in the Word of God. I thank you, Lord, that you had that woman in mind. And not only her, but she was going to be the cog that you used, the special instrument you used to stir up a revival in Sychar. And Lord, I pray for you to use us. Bartow needs a revival. Lakeland needs a revival. Winter Haven needs a revival. Haines City needs a revival. Lord, our whole country needs revival. Lord, I just pray that you'll not let us be deceived by anything the enemy throws at us, but help us to always, always, always stand for the truth. For it's in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed as we stand to our feet.